Hi, I'm Ray Hager, subbing for Sam Shad, and welcome to an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Today, we have part two of our interview with Danny Tarkanian, who just wrote a book about his father, Jerry Tarkanian, of course, the legendary basketball coach at UNLV. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Hi, welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest, of course, today is Danny Tarkanian, the author of Rebel with a Cause. It's about his legendary father, former UNLV basketball coach Jerry Tarkanian, who might be the most famous person ever to come out of Nevada. Welcome to you today, Danny.
Well, thank you. That's a pretty high statement considering some of the people, celebrities that have come out, but thank you.
Well, I couldn't think of anyone else. I was thinking, well, maybe Senator Reid, but your father transcended so many different parts of our society, from sports to music, Walk Like a Tarkanian and things like that. Yeah. But I wanted to start maybe at the beginning of your book, and you talk about the Armenian genocide of 1914 to 1918, where the Ottoman Turks put to death 1.5 million Armenians, and your grandmother barely escaped with her life, moved to the United States. Your father grew up in Ohio, Euclid, if I remember that correctly, and maybe just you've spoken about the Armenian genocide before, but what does that mean to your family today?
Well, it's one of the really grave injustices that we have not recognized it and made a bigger deal about it here in the United States. As you mentioned, 1.5 million Armenians were killed by the Ottoman Empire during that time period out of 2 million people. Now think about that. That's 75% of the entire population of Armenians of that area lost their lives.
Right.
Growing up, my family, my dad would never talk about it. My dad never spoke about the genocide. It hurt him too much. But his sister has told us the stories so that we would understand and tell our kids so that we'd go on through. And people would know what our great-grandmother Rose did just to get to America. She watched her entire village burned alive in the church, and she rode off on a horse and actually was saved by a very nice Turkish family that hid her underneath the baseboards while the Ottoman soldiers were searching for her.
Yeah, that was very fascinating. And one of the things I thought was funny is that when your dad was growing up in Ohio, He didn't come from a basketball family. And in fact, the family members wanted him to be a barber because he said it was good money and it was low overhead, which I thought a barber and overhead, I thought that was kind of good.
His stepfather, and that's a very good, interesting point, he lost his father at a very young age, right after the Great Depression. And his stepfather wanted my dad to be a barber because he said it was consistent income with low overhead. And his mother told him, no, you go for your dreams, do what you want to do. Because my dad, while he was growing up, all he did was read the sports pages, memorized all the stats, and his mother knew what he wanted to do. And my dad loved his mother more than anything in the entire world, and he could never speak about it without breaking down and crying. I think a lot of it was the great support that she gave him growing up.
Now, the family moved from Ohio out to California, and your father first went to Pasadena Community College, and then he went on to Fresno State. And at Fresno State, his first job really in sports seemed to be with Coach Van Galder, the football coach. And he left Coach Van Galder with a very important lesson, is it's important to be a friend to your players and create a family atmosphere, and that was maybe the essence of the UNLV basketball program.
Well, it was the essence of my father's career, and the most important thing about that is that's not the way it worked back in the early 60s. Virtually every, and I wrote about this in the book, my mother actually put a lot of that into it. Every instruction she heard was, my dad heard was, your coach has to be the boss. He can't get close to his players. The players won't respect him if they do. This coach, he was a football coach. My dad interned for him. He thought, he used to come over to have the players come over to their house, serve them dinner and stuff, and they got to be very close with him. And that's the way my father wanted to coach. And he made that the basis of his relationship with the players all the way from high school through junior college and then to the four-year schools.
Well, your father's first basketball coaching job, if I had this correctly, was at Edison High School, where he, you know, saw racism of Taft and that Central Valley area. And he coached with Ellis Carrasco, who really knew nothing about basketball. Your dad was the assistant, and Carrasco's is named Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he was actually a football coach, and he was forced into the basketball position when the basketball coach got ill.
Carrasco.
Carrasco was. So okay. I don't know who it was. Somebody recommended to Carrasco, hey, you got to take this Fresno State student and have him work as an assistant. My dad was still at Fresno at the time, and so my dad was like a student assistant for them, and yeah, they won the championship, and yep.
Well, you know, his first head coaching job was at San Joaquin Memorial High School, and that's when he began the essence of UNLV's later offense and defense. But then he moved to Redlands High, and that's where his famous towel sucking began in 1959. Can you talk about that?
He was playing in his first championship game, where he was coaching in his first championship game, and he was yelling, and his mouth would get dry, so he'd run to the water fountain and wet his mouth so he could yell some more. The game went into overtime, and my father didn't think he had time to go back and forth during the overtime, so he just wet the towel, chomped on it, got his mouth wet, yelled some more. They won the game, and from that point on, every single game he had, they had a wet towel. The team manager had to have a wet towel underneath his chair for him so he could chomp on it. And my dad was very superstitious.
And one other superstition he had was with ties. If he wore a tie and he lost the game, he'd throw the tie away.
And he wouldn't stay at the same hotel. If they lost on a road trip, we wouldn't stay at the same hotel. He even was given a Rolex watch once, and he lost the first game he coached with it, so he gave that away. He didn't want to. He went back to his old watch.
Danny, we got a long way to go. Let's take one break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back with Danny Tarkanian talking about his book, Rebel with a Cause, right after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest is Danny Tarkanian, author of Rebel Without a Cause, a book about his famous father, Jerry Tarkanian. Now, you know, your father was not a good student. And he took 4 years to get out of junior college, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
How did you know, and the racism he saw as early on, and, you know, the Armenian genocide, which was racism at its top level, how did that maybe blend into his coaching philosophy later in life?
My father was the first coach, and I would argue the most successful coach, of taking the poor inner city African-American kids that had gotten in trouble off the court, weren't good students, and was able to motivate them and bring them together as a cohesive team to play harder than any other in the country. And the reason he was able to do that was because of what you just mentioned, the way he was raised. Armenians were discriminated against very significantly in the Central Valley of California where my father was growing up. So he saw not only the racism of the African Americans, as we talked about, but also himself experienced it. He was a horrible student. He said it took him 6 years to graduate from college. If he hadn't met my mom, it would have been 10 years. And then he got in trouble off the court all the time. He hung out with guys that would, in fact, that's how he met my mother, doing some pranks and stuff that got him in trouble off the court. So when he went out and he recruited these players, he understood, you know, what they were going through and how they acted. And he always said, if it wasn't for some people like my mother, and there was a president at Pasadena City College that gave him a chance in life, he would have been a mess himself. So he felt if he gave these players a chance, they would turn out positively and an asset to society, and also be a great basketball player and form a great basketball team.
Okay, now when he left high school coaching, he went to Riverside Community College, and that's where he developed a 1-2-2 zone, which later, did that morph into the amoeba defense?
No, it was actually completely different. My father started his career as a 1-2-2 zone defensive coach. In fact, he took over a Long Beach State program that had been Division II before he got there. And in his third year, they almost beat UCLA. They lost by two in the regional finals, which was the closest game UCLA had in their seven-year national championship run. And and he played all 1-2-2 zone. And after the game, John Wooden said that Tarkanian's the greatest zone defensive coach in the history of college basketball. He said they just had him baffled. That's how he made his mark originally. It changed when he got to UNLV. We could talk about that.
Right, later on. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your father's time at Long Beach State. It was a program that was really on the dumpster when your father took it over. He led it to national prominence and NCAA tournament appearances. And back then, there weren't as many teams in the NCAA tournament as there are now. What really struck me, though, are two people that he recruited that he did not get. One is George Gervin, who later became the Iceman. And the other is someone maybe not a lot of people know about, is Raymond Lewis, one of the greatest basketball players nobody ever knew about. Your father lost him. He went to LA State, which was in the old PCAA, and he died early in his life. The thing about George Gervin, what your father learned from that is you never want to put room with someone who plays the same position.
Yeah.
And number one, the power of a girlfriend to influence a player.
Yes, back then there were all these riots in many of these major cities, and George Gervin was from Detroit, so there were a lot of riots there. So they all the high schools had the games in the daytime, so nobody knew about these players. There wasn't the internet or the major media. So George Gervin, hardly anybody knew about. My dad had a player from Detroit whose parents just loved him, the Trapp family. So they said, hey, you got to recruit this Gervin guy. So my dad brings him out, hadn't even seen him play in the first day in practice. He said, oh my goodness, this guy's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has him rooming with another player named Eric McWilliams, and Eric happened to play the same position. But what a stupid move that was on my father's part. He put him in, he roomed with Eric McWilliams, and who played the same position, and George kept complaining about missing his girlfriend. So my dad was worried he might try to go home, and this was before school started, so he could leave and still be eligible. And he told McWilliams, make sure if anything happens with George and he wants to go home, you let us know. Next thing you know, Gervin was gone, and McWilliams drove him to the airport and put him on the plane.
Well, one more thing about Long Beach State before we get to the UNLV days is...
You've got to talk about Raymond Jr.
Oh, yeah, please go ahead.
My dad has said over and over again, the greatest high school player he's ever seen is Raymond Lewis, and I went through the book, almost a full chapter, I believe, on what his exploits were. It was unbelievable. In fact, when he went pro after his first year of college, and he was a second player taken by the Philadelphia 76ers, the first one was Collins, the guy who was number one draft pick. He destroyed Collins in camp, just destroyed him. And all the media said, Collins has a hype, Lewis has the game. And as you mentioned, he ended up dying at a young age, and he had some drug problems. But his dad said over and over again that the greatest mistake he and his son made was for Raymond not to go to and play for my father, because my father cared so much for him and would have kept him on the right path. You ask anybody who's has grown up and played basketball in Southern California, they'll tell you the greatest player ever from Southern California is Raymond Lewis.
Right, right. I agree with that. At Long Beach State, this is where the trouble began for your father, if I have this correctly, is that he was getting the attention of the UCLAs and the USCs, like, hey, how can this guy win at Long Beach State, you know? And then what he did is that he wrote a newspaper column complaining about the NCAA and its treatment of small schools as opposed to the large schools, who seemed to be able to do anything they wanted, but the enforcement and division seemed to focus on the smaller schools trying to move up. And he said that started the NCAA vendetta against your father, and something that his teams, he coached about 30 years, and through half of those seasons, the NCAA was investigating his program. Can you talk about the newspaper article that your father wrote and what it led to?
Yeah, I actually spent a good amount of time to try to explain the NCAA and how this started. Because, you know, one simple newspaper article, or actually there were two, wouldn't have continued this type of a vendetta against my father. There was a lot that went into it. But real quick background, the NCAA's enforcement program was started in the 1950s. The rules that were made applied to the players that were playing at that time, kids from affluent families that had discretionary income to spend when they got to school. Well, from the 60s on, basketball and football were dominated by poor inner city African American kids that just didn't have any money. So you had to break those rules for those kids wanting to get to school and then to be able to live outside of poverty. I mean, if we recruit a kid from New York City, Fort Apache in the Bronx, Richie Adams, many fans from UNR would remember him. He was a player of the year twice. But Richie lived in the projects with his grandmother in the worst area, arguably, in the country. How does he get out to school to UNLV? It's against the rules to pay for an airline flight. Well, of course somebody's going to pay for it. My dad felt that was wrong. Every school in the country that's recruiting these type of kids are doing the same thing. They're all paying for it. You have to. You can't get the kid out there. Then they come to school out here. They have no money for class supplies. It's against the NCAA. The NCAA eliminated that. No money for laundry. No money to go on a date. No money to go to a party. No money to eat outside the cafeteria area. My dad complained that the NCAA rules forced these kids to live in poverty much lower than the rest of the student body, and he felt that was wrong, and he was an outspoken critic of it. And that's how these two articles started. They hadn't even gone after Long Beach State at the time. My father complained about how they were going after the small schools, which was Western Kentucky, Cleveland State, Southwest Louisiana. And though, and he said they won't touch the big schools, UCLA and Kentucky, because back in the 60s and 70s, college basketball wasn't making much money. It wasn't that popular. They weren't on national TV very often. They couldn't sell out games in the NCAA tournament, but the big draws, the Kentuckys and the UCLA, were bringing people in and money in, so the NCAA wouldn't go after them. They were going after these smaller schools. So my dad wrote an article and said, why won't the NCAA go after the University of Kentucky? They break more rules in one day than Western Kentucky does in a year, yet they put Western Kentucky on probation for 2 years. Then he wrote a second article saying, why won't the NCAA go after the big boys? They're only going after the small schools. So the NCAA wrote a letter to my dad's league commissioner saying, who does Tarkanian think Long Beach State is? A big boy? We can come after him too. And that started it. And then it went. Then when he left to go to UNLV, another thing added to it. There was an assistant coach my father fired who told investigators that the UNLV coaching staff were discussing ways to plant drugs and prostitution.
Okay, we got to stop it right there. Let me tell you. Right, we'll be right back. More with Danny Tarkanian right after this word.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hey, welcome back. Of course, we're with Danny Tarkanian, author, Rebel with a Cause. Now, Danny, you were talking about your father's days at Long Beach State and some articles that he wrote that basically got him in trouble with the NCAA. Would you finish the story, please?
Sure. And as my mother and father would describe how their battles with the NCAA started, all they did was talk about these two articles. That definitely started the NCAA coming after my father's program. But I think all the stuff that happened afterwards continued it. And as I was mentioning just before the break, there was this coach that got fired by my father, and he went to the NCAA and said, hey, Tarkanian and his assistant coaches are discussing plans to plant drugs and prostitution with one of the investigators. Well, the NCAA was infuriated by this, and I could understand why, but it wasn't true, but I can understand why they would be mad. They sent a number of letters emails, or it wasn't emails, but correspondence about how upset they were that this happened. They had to document it to make sure they taught Tarkanian and UNLV a lesson for this. So that got them really going. And then my father fights them through the courts for 10 years, and they end up having two congressional investigations. It ends up being four infraction committee hearings. The NCAA was not going to let up on him. My father ended up winning $2.5 million in a civil lawsuit, so the NCAA kept going after him until they finally got him out of coaching.
Okay, Danny, now when he went to UNLV, one of the boosters told him, you have to take the UNLV job, you won't want to leave until you go to heaven.
Yeah.
And
it's one of my favorite quotes in the whole book, and it's a true story. It was Mike Toney, who was one of my father's two closest friends.
You know, one of the great lines in the book, you were talking about how the NCAA goes after the small guy and not the big guy. It said that Kentucky, they were so mad at Kentucky, they gave Cleveland State two more years of probation.
Yeah, that was one of my dad's favorite lines, and the media really loved it and picked up on that a lot. He also had a great line, and this came from Greg Gorgian. I don't know if the fans in Reno remember him. He played at UNLV for 2 years. But he transferred from Arizona State with his own white Fiat convertible car. And my dad said afterwards, he goes, he loved four-year transfers because they all came with their own cars paid for.
Right. Danny, real quick before we break this off, where can you get the book?
You get it on Amazon is the easiest place. You just put in the name Rebel with a Cause or my name and it'll come up. There are some bookstores that have it, but there's not. I can't guarantee that.
Okay. That's all we got time for today. Please tune in tomorrow at the same time where we're going to have the part two of our conversation with Danny Tarkanian about his book, Rebel with a Cause, which, of course, is an autobiography of his famous father, UNLV coach Jerry Tarkanian. Thank you, and have a good day.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Tolles Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolles Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. Sam will be back next week, and his first guest will be former University Regent Howard Rosenberg.